You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
And we welcome you to our week two edition of Lynx Huddle here on 95.7 KQWC. And a happy Friday morning, everybody. Quinn Douglas here live from Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. I'm going to fly it solo here for the first part of the show. John Marvel will join us later on for this Friday night's ball game. As Webster City, they are 1-0 on the regular season after a 42-8 victory over Iowa Falls Alden last Friday night. You heard that over on AM 1570 KZWC. The Lynx, a great performance on the ground, kind of a your typical performance for Webster City offensively. 346 yards coming in that ball game for Webster City. That is currently the top rushing performance in Class 3A for any team coming out of week one. So the Lynx were able to put it together on the ground early. Caleb Hansen was fantastic on the ground as well. 142 yards, pretty darn good for your first start at halfback as well. And that offensive line really off to a good start. Obviously, when you roll up 346 yards of offense, that is a start that you can hang your hat on and very much build off of for the Webster City offensive line as well. And even the passing game, you know, Aiden Hernicek in the passing game, 1 for 3, but near one pass is a touchdown pass to Jackson Griffith. Tell you what, that's something you'll build off of as well. So the Lynx, again, 42-8 victors over Iowa Falls Alden. Defensively, IFA was able to gain some yards, but when you gain yards, don't put points on the scoreboard, folks. Doesn't really mean a whole lot. You can gain yards, but you're not putting points on the board. You're not going to do a whole lot, as IFA still had 211 yards through the air, 87 on the ground, a touchdown, two interceptions, three turnovers forced in total by this Webster City defense. And that is something that we've been accustomed to seeing, the Lynx being able to force turnovers. It put opposing offenses into bad spots, and the Webster City defense did that quite a bit in week one, against Iowa Falls Alden. And really, someone who had a nose for the football all game on Friday night on both sides of the ball was Jackson Griffith. Offensively, he had 62 yards on the ground, maybe not what he was looking for, but when you got two other 100-yard rushers, you know, that sets you up for success pretty well. Jackson Griffith also, he was on the receiving end in that passing touchdown from Aiden Hernicek, 23-yard touchdown reception as well. Defensively for Jackson, 5 tackles, he had a TFL, also had a forced fumble, I should correct myself, a forced fumble, had an interception, a pass deflection as well. In all, I should say 4 turnovers for Webster City, forced by the Webster City defense. Jackson had an interception, Coyce Bertrand had an interception, and then a couple of fumble recoveries, one from Carter Michelson. Dawson Bertrand had a fumble recovery as well. When you're forced 4 turnovers, folks, that's going to win you a lot of football games, and Webster City was able to capitalize on that as well. As the leading tackler, Aiden Hernicek, 5.5 tackles. The tackling, as we look here on bound, pretty spread out. It was really a team effort defensively. 8 total tackles for loss for the Webster City defense. Dawson Bertrand off to a really good start to his senior year. 2.5 tackles for loss. Grant Ahrens, he had 2 tackles for loss. Jackson Griffith, we talked about his TFL earlier. Cale Alexander on the defensive line, good first start for him up front. He had a tackle and a half for loss. Boston Farley as well. I'm going to guess that Boston also was able to contribute on one of those TFLs with Cale Alexanderson. All in all, a pretty darn good start to the season. We'll be joined by head coach Andy Brim here in a little bit. Obviously, you know, the old saying goes, the most improvement you're going to see from a football team will be from week one to week two. We'll see if that old adage holds true coming up tonight against Fort Dodge. Dodgers coming in off of a victory over Mason City last Friday night, 20-14. It was a hard-fought game. We talked with Fort Dodge coach Nick Mosier yesterday. You'll hear that conversation on our pregame show on AM 1570 KZWC, as he felt his football team competed really well and thought, you know, he was happy to get a 4-quarter battle in before what's going to be a very fun game, I imagine, tonight at Lynx Field over at Webster City High School. So that game coming up tonight over on AM 1570 KZWC. Jerry Claver will have the call. They'll get his help, of course, from our friends Mitch Lamb and Mark Laskock as well tonight on the stats as well. So pregame for that starts at 6:15, as you'll hear our interview with Coach Brim coming up in a couple of moments, as well as our conversation with Fort Dodge head coach Nick Mosier, as well as the Radio Iowa scouting report to kick things off at 6:15. So we are live here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City, and Coach Brim, we'll have Coach Brim join us here if he is ready to go. Ready to go? Coach Brim will be joining us here. And I know our friend John Marble said some folks were having problems looking for our replay of last week's program. It is on our page, kqradio.com. If you find the sports tab on the drop down on the front page, click on that. It should be under that. You can listen to the replay of our program from last week here at Morning Glory Coffee, as we are now joined here by Webster City football coach Andy Brim. And Coach, thanks for joining us again this morning, and congratulations on a nice week one victory.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us on, and thanks to John and everybody at Morning Glory for setting us up. Pretty cool thing. And there's a lot of thanks to go around in the community. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of businesses, a lot of individuals in town that have really stepped up and support Lynx football, and not only Lynx football, but all of the youth in our community. So thank you to everybody mm-hmm. that supports Lynx athletics.
And as we dive into last week's game with Iowa Falls, Alton, you know, we've already talked about, first we'll start off on the offensive end, 346 yards on the ground. That's the big number. You know, if you're able to put up a number like that in week one, it's obviously a great building block for your football team going into week two. And, you know, a couple things that stand out when you see that number, obviously the offensive line doing its job and doing it pretty darn well to start the season. The running backs were able to find the holes and able to get yardage and probably fight for extra yardage as well. Just from what you saw, what did you see from the offense that stood out to you, and on Friday night, what are some areas that you feel that there is improvement to be made yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, 346 yards rushing, that's always the goal, is to rush for as many as we can. We want to control the line of scrimmage. I talked last week about we had a couple of new guys in some spots in that offensive line, so just getting everybody to gel together and be on the same page was huge. I thought the running backs did a good job of taking what was there. You know, we really don't try to force the issue. We get 3-4 yards at a time. If that's what we can do, we're happy with that. There'll be some improvement this week and you know, different competition this week. So Fort Dodge is a good 4A football team. So mm-hmm. We're going to have to be ready to go up front, especially on the offensive line. But we're going to have the same goals that we always do as far as just trying to control the line of scrimmage, control the game with our offensive line and our rushing attack.
Yeah, as a wise football coach once told me, you get 3 yards, that's a good football play. You average 3 yards for four plays, you're getting a first down every time out of it. Looking at the defensive side of the football last week, like I talked about, it was very much a team effort defensively. You know, you didn't have a player with, you know, 10 tackles, and everyone else kind of filled in where they could. You know, five and a half tackles, three and a half tackles, so on and so forth. And what is that? Just speak to that concept. You always talk about team defense. What does that speak to, that concept of team defense, that you're seeing so many hats, different hats, get to the football defensively?
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a team concept, and we really preach that to the kids. It's team defense. You've got your job, your assignment, and as long as you take care of your job and your assignment and trust that the guys behind you and next to you are going to do the same thing, then more times than not, we're going to be okay on defense. You know, especially I've talked a lot about, you know, our philosophy defensively is alignment and things like that, and especially week one. Iowa Falls came out and they threw a lot of different stuff at us in that first drive, and they were able to drive down the field a little bit, but I was super proud of the kids. You know, they held their water and they were able to adjust and make all of the different adjustments, and they saw a lot of different things. So that was a nice test, you know, week one right out of the gate, just to have to make those adjustments and rely on the things that you've practiced for several weeks as you went through the preseason and just get lined up. And then, you know, we want to play fast. I mean, on defense, we want to fly around. We want to get as many guys the football as we can. We don't really care who they are. We just want to get everybody the football, and nobody cares who's going to get the tackles. So we're just one team goal.
And obviously a big part of that game defensively last week was the turnovers, four of them forced by your defense. You had a couple fumble recoveries, a couple of interceptions as well. You know, and you hear a lot of coaches attribute, you know, turnovers happen when you're in the right place at the right time in conversations like that. You know, what are some things that you do attribute to the amount of turnovers your team was able to force on Friday night that obviously played a big factor?
Well, really, I mean, I think week one turnovers are a more prevalent thing, you know. So you probably haven't been tackled a whole lot. You're not haven't been put in a lot of intense scrimmage situations. At least I know our team hasn't. So that's always a worry going into week one for us. You know, our ball carriers getting tackled, and are they going to be able to take care of the football? And then, you know, our exchanges in the backfield. That's something that's going to have to be better this week for us. You know, we had too many on our end, too. We were lucky enough that we could take advantage of the four turnovers from Iowa Falls to offset that turnover margin. But just, yeah, like you said, I mean, right place, right time. And we don't spend a lot of time on creating turnovers. We spend a lot of time on just, like I said earlier, doing your job and being where you're supposed to be.
And as we turn our attention here to tonight, Fort Dodge, obviously, like you talked about, presents pretty tough test tonight here for your football team. They are coming off of a hard-fought victory in week one over Mason City. And this is a team that definitely, as you've been able to see on film, a lot of playmakers on this football team on both sides of the football, and then they have a lot of veteran experience coming back here in 2025. And, you know, first of all, we'll take it on both sides of the football. Offensively, you know, from what you've seen from Fort Dodge through early in this year and, you know, throughout much of last year with a lot of their guys from last year being back, you know, what has stood out to you about what this Fort Dodge offense brings to the table tonight?
They've got some weapons. Figuring out where those weapons are going to be will be one of the challenges. But that's every week. It's still early in the year. You don't know exactly what you're going to see. I mean, yeah, you watch film and you've got an idea of what they did week one, but you know that there's a lot more to come from the offenses as they figure out kind of what worked and what didn't work in week one and what they want to hang their hat on. So I don't think Fort Dodge is a whole lot different than us. They want to run the ball to try to control the game up front, and then they're going to take some shots and they're going to throw the ball when they have their opportunities. So, I mean, we just got to line up and keep playing team defense as far as the defensive side goes. For us on offense, going up against their defense, you know, same thing. Just got to control the line of scrimmage, be physical up front, and take what we can get when we have it and see where we end up there. So they've got plenty of athletes on both sides of the ball. They've got kids with a lot of speed that are going to fly around. Obviously, Drayshawn Ross playing football again this year, so that's a huge asset for them. So we've got to be ready for a big athletic kid like that. And then the Daniel kid, you know, he had the two kick returns against us last year, so he's definitely a weapon and can change the game in a hurry. So we've got to be aware of where he's at all times.
And kind of a unique series, as we've talked about in the past. You know, this was a two towns that hadn't played each other for over 40 years, and then, you know, back in 2021 with your program being in 4A at that point, you know, became a district game. And now since you guys have moved back down to 3A, they've maintained this series. And what's it like to have, you know, a series that, you know, was seen as such a series from yesteryear, and you know, many people, you know, much older than a lot of us, you know, remember this series, but now it's back, and, you know, both towns are very much involved and very spirited about this rivalry. What does it mean to see that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the proximity, just being 20 miles apart, obviously makes it maybe a little bit bigger of a game. You know, I talked a little bit at our fall pep rally about our kids being unique kids. To be completely honest, I don't know if they really care who they play. They just like to play the game. They're going to play whatever schedule you put in front of them. We play the toughest schedule in the state, in my opinion. I think as the year unfolds, that'll probably ring true. You know, some people will say that this is a big rivalry game. I don't know how much of a rivalry game it is, because we only play them in football. You know, we don't usually – sometimes you get them in basketball and things like that. But, you know, the big rivalry games for us are usually the Humboldts and Algonas and Clear Lakes and the teams that you see year in and year out in all of the sports and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, the proximity adds a little bit to the game. But like I said, I think our kids are just – they're excited to play the game. They don't care who lines up across from them. They just want to play.
Coach, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Good luck tonight against Fort Dodge, and what should be a pretty fun atmosphere at Links Field tonight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I hope there's a lot of people that come out. Football weather's in the air a little bit, so yeah, should be a fun night out at Links Field. We got a lot of things going on. It's youth football night, so all the kids All the kids get in free all the time in Webster City, so I kind of alluded to that a little bit, the community support that we have, so that's awesome to see. And we'll have some of the little kids making a tunnel out before the game and stuff. And, yeah, it should be a fun night.
All right, Coach, thank you very much for your time, and good luck this evening.
Yep, thanks.
That was Andy Brim, the head football coach of the Webster City Lynx, here on our Lynx Huddle program. Again, we are here at Morning Glory Coffee here for a few more minutes here until about 8:50 as we're at quarter till the top of the hour here on this Friday morning. As we'll be back here, of course, all throughout the regular season here at Lynx Huddle. Get your Football Friday started off right with Lynx Huddle here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City from 8:30 till 8:50 here on 95.7 FM. I know John Marble, I think he's supposed to be joining us here, but we'll see if he can join us here in a couple of moments here as we take as we fast forward. We look ahead to tonight's ball game with Fort Dodge. Obviously, the Dodgers coming in ranked number 3 in Class 4A in this week's Radio Iowa poll. They're coming off of a 20-14 win over Mason City on Friday night, a game that, you know, when we talked to Coach Nick Mosier yesterday, said he was proud of the way his team competed. He was happy the fact they got such a competitive four-quarter game into that first week of the season to kind of set the tone and make sure that, hey, you know, to send the message that every week you're going to be in a four-quarter battle. That was the gist of the message that Mosier told us yesterday. When it came to the subject of this game, you know, asking Coach Mosier about Webster City, the quote that stood out to me, and I'll read it back to you folks. You know, he says there are people in the community that talk about this rivalry being a back and forth, and Coach Mosier said there's been no back and forth, only fourth, and we want to change that. Webster City has won all four matchups in this rivalry or in this series since the series restarted in 2021. Of course, two of those came in a district format with Webster City in Class 4A back in 2021 and 22, and now in a non-district format in 2023, 2024, and going into 2025. Dodgers are looking for their first win in the series in quite a few years. That, as a matter of fact, before the series ended in 1965, Webster City won the last meeting between these two programs. As we'll take a look at our keys to the game tonight for Webster City, the keys I have listed here is, number one, make the offense your defense. When I talk about making your offense your defense, I'm talking about long sustained drives and keeping the football out of the hands of the Fort Dodge offense. So that means putting together, you know, double-digit play drives, 10, 12, 11, 12, 13 play drives, maybe even more, and controlling the clock. And it goes back to Coach Howard, the offensive coordinator, his philosophy of controlling the line of scrimmage and controlling the clock. That is what Webster City has to do if they want to keep an explosive Fort Dodge offense off the field, number one. Number two, you heard Coach Brim allude to him earlier, Drayshawn Ross. You want to talk about what an unbelievable talent Coach Drayshawn Ross is. Obviously committed to play football at Oklahoma State after his senior year. And he is a guy that I define as a game wrecker, someone like what an Aiden Hutchinson was at Michigan, what a T.J. Watt is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, what a Max Crosby is for the Las Vegas Raiders. Drayshawn Ross is a game wrecker. You have to identify where he is on the field at all times and make life uncomfortable for Drayshawn Ross, no question about that. And if Webster City can find ways to hold Ross, you know, you were talking double teams, you keep him guessing on the football field, that is, and guessing where that football is going to be, that could go a long ways into determining this football game. And then the third key to the game, be the more disciplined football team. This is a series, you know, when I gone back and watched, there's been a lot of penalties in this matchup over the last few years since this series restarted. Whoever is going to win the penalty battle in terms of having the least penalties calling them, I think will be go a pretty long way in determining who wins this football game. As we're joined by our friend John Marble. John, good morning. Glad to have you here on this Friday morning. I know you've been pretty busy this morning, but it's nice to get you on here on this. It's a gorgeous Friday outside.
Oh, it's a great Friday. It's a nice dilemma to have when you're busy and you can't jump away. But, you know, it's rivalry weekend.
Yes.
So. And it starts tonight. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of people fired up about tomorrow, but I'm fired up tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, tomorrow, Seahawks Saturday. We might be able to touch on that a little bit. But when you look at tonight's ball game, John, just getting your thoughts on this matchup tonight, what stands out to you about, you know, what Webster City brings in after their week one performance and what the challenge the Dodgers bring here at Lynx Field?
Well, I think it always comes down in these games to who controls the line. And yeah. I think that if Webster City can control the line on both sides of the ball, I think it's going to be a good night. I mean, a lot of people kind of talking about last year. Like, you got to throw last year out. Fort Dodge is much better this year. Mm-hmm. They're older and seem to have the skill position players mm-hmm. that you know that you want at this level. But I think that a lot of great things from Webster City last week, opening game. I think the line was top notch, and that's what you look for in those first, you know, the first couple games. Is your line cohesive? Mm-hmm. Are they going to, you know, play together on both sides of the ball? So that's what I always watch.
Yeah, it should be a very fun game tonight. I know, John, that you guys are sponsoring the first downs tonight at tonight's football game over the PA system. I know you're pretty excited about
that. I just told Coach Brim, run it up for me tonight. So I'm happy to write that check. And, you know, here Morning Glory Coffee multiple times tonight. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that game coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock, AM 1570 KZWC, streaming online on KQRadio.com with Jerry Claver. That is going to be on the call. And, you know, for fun, you know, this isn't Link Show, but it is rivalry week in this state. Cy-Hawk game tomorrow. Let's hear your thoughts on and who you think is going to come away.
Well, I think it's one of those games, and you look at it on paper, and you look at the first 2 weeks for Iowa State, and you mm-hmm. look at last week for Iowa, and everybody goes, oh, blowout.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be ugly. Moulton is out.
Reese Vanderzee.
Yeah, Vanderzee out. That hurts. But this game, you know, I mean, they haven't lost. Iowa has not lost an Ames since, what, 2011?
2011, yep. That was a triple overtime game.
So I think that you hate it. It's a cliche, but you throw it out. These two teams, you know, will go at it. But, you know, you got to look at Ken. I think some concerns on the Iowa defense last mm-hmm. week. You know, I think the secondary, which is normally a strength, mm-hmm. you know, I think Albany, you know, took advantage of some things. So I think that I would look for Iowa State to throw the ball mm-hmm. a lot.
Especially to those tight ends.
Yeah, and coming out in the flat too. I also think that you know, one of the things that you got to look at the quarterback position for both teams. Mm-hmm. So I think you know, Rocco certainly is coming into his own, and I think it's a situation where you go, okay, he's the most experienced. You know, he's the experienced QB
yes.
in this game.
Yep.
And then you go to the other side, and a lot of people are down on the kid. But, you know, first game jitters, maybe?
Yeah, that's what Kirk Ferentz said in his post-game press conference with Gronowski. Just felt he was pressing so much. Obviously, and there's a lot of nerves. You know, you're going from playing in front of 19,000, 20,000 consistently to playing in front of 70,000. In a weird sense, I feel like Gronowski will be almost more comfortable on Saturday. He's used to coming into an FBS stadium and being on the, hey, we're on the opposing side. I almost feel, you know, it goes against the grain, but he's been in that situation before where he's gone into, you know, a Kinnick Stadium or a Jack Trice Stadium or last year at T. Boone Pickens down at Stillwater. He's been in that situation before.
Yeah, it's a payday game for, you know, when those teams go to, you know, those stadiums mm-hmm. and it's a payday for the school. And, you know, the kid is used to that. So hopefully that you can see. You know, the quarterback position, you know, in Iowa City has been an issue for the last
five, six years.
And I think that, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, my goodness. But I think it's early to panic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
And I won't give a prediction, but I'll leave you with this. The matchup to watch on Saturday that will probably go a long way in telling you how the game is going, Logan Jones versus Dominic Orange. Whoever is winning that battle consistently, whether it's Logan Jones or Dominique Orange, whoever's winning that battle consistently, I think will go a long way in telling how that ball game is going to go on Saturday. So if you're a fan of the trenches, I'd watch that a lot. I'd watch Iowa Iowa State on Saturday. So those games, of course, coming up on Saturday. Don't forget Webster City football tonight, AM 1570 KZWC. Jerry Claver has the play-by-play action of it all here on KQRadio.com. as well. So, John Marble, thanks for being able to hop on with us, and thanks again for hosting us once again. We'll be back here next Friday here at Morning Glory, and pretty excited. This one definitely felt like we had a better idea coming in here of how this would roll, but obviously, you know, you were busy, but like you said, that's
a nice dilemma.
Nice dilemma to have. Nice
but,
dilemma.
We appreciate everybody's support. I mean, yeah. I think it's something that we want to do for the community. We want to do for the football program. Mm-hmm. We want to continue to stir interest. Had a lot of feedback, a lot of people listening,
yep.
So I think it was a good thing. Come down later today. We have Rivalry Week special, lunch special brought in a drink.
There you go.
For $9. So come out and get that. We'll have that tomorrow as well. So
there you go. So come out and have some good grub and some good coffee here at Morning Glory Coffee. No doubt about that. As we'll send it on back to our regular program, this has been our week two edition of Links Huddle here at Morning Glory Coffee here on 95.7 KQWC.